In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ, who are you? What are some words you would use to describe yourself? Do you think you're wise, funny, able to adapt? Do you think you're shy or weak or struggle to make friends? Do you have a high opinion of yourself or do you have a low opinion of yourself? Yes. Who are you? I think it's important to be able to answer that question. It's important to know who you really are. For if you don't know the answer to that question, or even if you struggle to answer that question, then you will be filled with doubts and fears and guilt and stress and anxiety. In fact, I believe that's why so many Christians struggle. It's because they either don't know who they are or forget who they are. And so, who are you? Well, Paul in Romans 6 beautifully proclaims who you are. For he proclaims that you are someone who is baptized into Christ. For look at our text from Romans 6. In response to a false objection from an unbeliever, an objection that says, well, if you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus and not based on anything you do, well, then you should just be able to do whatever you want and commit as many sins as you want because, well, you're going to be forgiven anyways. In response to that false objection, Paul points us to our baptism. He says, that's not who you are any longer. You can't just keep on going sinning. For Paul says, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And do you understand what that phrase means? Do you understand what it means that you are baptized into Christ? For think about it. If you are baptized into something, it means you are immersed in it, right? It encapsulates you and affects everything you do. Think of the phrase, a baptism by fire. That means you are immediately thrown into a difficult situation, and you are so immersed in that situation that the only way you can get out of it is if you solve it. And so if being baptized into something means you are completely immersed in it, do you see the comfort in the phrase, you are baptized into Christ? Think of who Christ is. He's the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one whose birth you just celebrated because he came down to this earth to deliver you from sin and from the devil and from death itself. You saw that beginning to happen when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John. You see, this man was baptized in the Jordan River to set him apart to be the Savior. For Jesus wasn't baptized to take away his sins. He had no sin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. Nor was Jesus baptized just to be an example for us to follow. For Jesus is never merely an example for us to follow. And if that were the only reason he were baptized, well, then this story would be pure law, and it would be a burden for us to do what Jesus did. And so if Jesus was not baptized to take away his sin, if he was not baptized just to be an example for us to follow, then why in all the world was Jesus baptized by John in the Jordan River? It was so that he could be anointed. That's why he was baptized. It's so that he could be anointed, set apart in a very public way from anyone else in the world, so that he could be proclaimed as the one and only Savior. Look at what happened to him when he was baptized. When he rose out of that water, the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, right? And the Father's voice boomed down, "You are my Son whom I love. I am well pleased with you." And those two events, the Spirit descending upon him and the Father's voice booming down over him, those two events, they anointed Jesus. They publicly set Jesus apart to be the one and only Savior. They proclaimed to everyone who saw these events, including John the Baptizer, that this man was the one who was sent to be the one and only Savior. And that's important to keep in mind. It's important to keep in mind that Jesus and Jesus alone was anointed to be the Savior. For you see, we love to try to appoint other Saviors in this world. Think of politicians. It doesn't matter who they are. They can be Democratic or Republican, progressive or constitutional, liberal, conservative. It doesn't matter what phrase they use. All of them say that we'll be the Savior of this country. Elect us, they claim, and we'll solve all this country's problems. We will take care of the poor and needy, or we will make sure that small businesses thrive. We will hold police accountable for their actions, or we'll make sure police maintain law and order. We would never let rioters overtake the Capitol. We will never let rioters overcome your city. No matter who they are, they all make promises. Elect us and we'll be the Savior of this country. But they all fail. No matter who they are, they all fail because they are sinners. And so while they are representatives of God, and we are to respect them as such, recognize they are not the Savior. Our trust cannot be in them. The same is true with doctors or nurses or scientists or lab technicians. While God uses them, especially during this COVID thing, to provide great blessings for us, they aren't the Savior. They're sinners. They fail. They can't save us from certain death. You see, there is really only one who is the Savior. One who will never, ever fail you. One who will deliver you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And that one is the one who's being baptized by John in the Jordan. It's the one that the Spirit descended upon in the form of a dove. It's the one that the Father's voice boomed down. You are my Son. Only he was set apart to be the true Savior. Therefore, only he can fulfill the demands of the law in our place. Only he can die an innocent death. Only his blood is holy blood. And therefore, it's only by being washed in his blood that we can be saved from sin, death, and the devil. No one else can do any of those things for us. Only the Savior, Jesus from Nazareth, only he can do those marvelous deeds. And if only Jesus can be the Savior of the world, well then let's go back to that phrase we've been talking about. Do you see the comfort in the phrase? You've been baptized into Christ. You've been immersed with Christ. The Savior. Christ the Savior encapsulates everything you do. You're never alone. Because you've been baptized, Christ the Savior is always with you. You've been connected to Christ, joined with Christ, united with Christ. And if you are that closely associated with Christ, if you are one with Christ through the waters of holy baptism, well, then how can you not receive from the Christ what he was sent to do? How can you not receive from him forgiveness, life, and salvation? For think about it. If you are connected with Christ, that means you are joined together with Christ in his death. Oh, it's true. Jesus died some 2,000 years ago on a cross at Calvary. But when you are baptized, you are still joined together with Christ with his death. For Paul wrote, we were buried with him by baptism into death. You see, when you are baptized, that sinful flesh that you were born with, that sinful flesh that you received from your parents, that sinful flesh that wants to do nothing but disobey and anger God, that sinful flesh was killed in the waters of baptism. It was drowned, crucified with Christ. For it was so wicked and evil that it couldn't be reformed. The only way God could get rid of it was to kill it. So he drowned it in those baptismal waters. But that's not the only thing he did. He didn't just kill you through baptism. He also gave you life. For as Paul continues, We were buried with him by baptism into death, that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in this new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, along with being put to death through the waters of baptism, you are also raised to life through those very same waters. Raised to life with Christ. You receive that new man, that man of faith, that man who clings to Jesus and receives from Jesus everything that he did to be your Savior. This is how you are able to abound in good works. This is how you are able to walk in that new life, as Paul says. It's because you've been baptized into Christ's resurrection, raised to a new life with him. That's the change that takes place in you with baptism. The old, wicked, sinful flesh is killed. And the new man of faith is raised to life. All that happens when you are baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, baptized into his resurrection. And if you remember that truth, if you remember everything that happens when you are baptized into Christ, well then, dear friends, then you can find your identity in the fact that you have been baptized. You can find your identity in the fact that you are joined together with Christ. And if you find your identity in the fact that you have been baptized into Christ, I promise you that all fear and guilt and doubt and stress and anxiety will be removed from you. Why? Well, think about it. You've all felt guilty over a sin that you've committed before, right? Maybe it's a sin you committed many years in the past, but it's still plaguing your conscience. Maybe it's a sin you kept on falling into over and over and over again. Maybe it's a sin that harmed other people and caused them some damage. But whatever it is, you've all felt guilty over a sin you've committed. It's easy to think that sin defines who I am. But that's wrong. You've been baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, baptized into his resurrection, so that sin can't harm you. It doesn't define you. It's been removed from you, washed away forever in the blood of Christ. Or it's easy to think that Satan defines you. For you see the effects of Satan in this world. You see the effects of Satan in your own life. You know how often you fall prey to one of his temptations. So it's easy to think that Satan defines you. But once again, that's wrong. You've been baptized into Christ. Baptized into his death and into his resurrection. You don't belong to Satan any longer. God ripped you away from him. You belong to God's family. Finally, it's easy to think that death is going to define you. After all, no one can escape death. It's the last event that'll happen to anyone as they live in this world. They'll all die. So it's easy to think that death defines us. But once again, that's wrong. You've been baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, baptized into his resurrection. So death holds no power over you. Instead, for you, death is merely a passageway to eternal life in Jesus. Do you see the comfort in the phrase, you're baptized into Christ? In fact, the next hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, the hymn we're going to sing right after this sermon, it really brings that out. For in stanzas 2 and 3 and 4 of that hymn, we are going to address sin and then address Satan and then address death and say, you enemies, you don't define me. You don't control me. You have no power over me, for I am baptized into Christ. I am baptized into his death and resurrection. I am immersed with my Savior. I don't belong to you enemies of sin, death, and Satan. I belong to my God, and therefore I am safe from all your enemies. That's what you're going to sing in the next hymn. It's beautiful. What a phrase it is that we are baptized into Christ. And so, my dear Christian friends, remember who you are in good times or in bad, in times of joy or times of sorrow. Remember what your true identity is. You are someone who is baptized into Christ. That's who you are. And if you remember that truth, then you don't fear sin because it's been washed away in the blood of Christ. And you don't fear Satan because you don't belong to him. You belong to your God. And you don't fear death because you're going to live forever in heaven. So say it boldly. Say it confidently. Say it with great joy. Remember who you are. Remember what your identity is. You are someone who is baptized into Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue by now singing that hymn, hymn 737. It's found in the blue supplement at the end of the pews if you want to see the music. God's Own Child, I Gladly Sing.